You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development and the United Nations Non-Governmental Liaison Service.
We now have a presentation from Marco Sacchi from Italy, who has the joy of living in Leicester right now, doing a PhD at the University of Leicester. And his title is The Potential, the Limits and the Difficulties about Implementing the Commercial Credit Circuit, which is what we're going to hear about, as an institutional and counter-cyclical policy instrument for the Uruguayan government to structurally address unemployment. Again, a bit more of an abstract than a title, but I do like the structurally address unemployment. I think that picks up on something I was banging on about earlier. So very pleased to hear what you've got to say, Marco. You have 10 minutes starting now.
Excuse me for the title, then I change it now for the presentation. This is the edible title, so the new frontier in payment systems. Virtual currency schemes, the C3 Uruguay, and the potential impact for social and solidarity economy. So what we have is this emerging world of virtual currency schemes. The European Central Bank got to the point only in October 2012, defining them finally, but they've been around for more time on the internet. I mean, if you're used to live on the internet a bit. And interestingly enough, also, the current governor of the Bank of England, Sir Mervyn King, in 1999 made a speech, an official one, saying that most probably the years of Bill Gates would have put out of business the years of Alan Greenspan. And after 12, 13 years, something is happening. How I define a virtual currency with the ECB definition, which is a type of unregulated digital money issued and usually controlled by its developers and used and accepted among the members of a specific virtual community. So the issuance is decentralized. The ontology of this virtual currency and their legitimation might not be more than a series of contracts that stipulate an obligation by a party to transfer value to another as for a pre-agreed set of juridical conditions. So it's possible to set up a currency system really from the bottom up. An example of this virtual currency scheme is Cyclos. It's a software developed quite some years ago now, let's say the last decade, by STRO, Social Trade Organization, which is an organization based in Utrecht, Holland. And they coded in Java this open source software for online banking, for microfinance institutions, and for local banks, and for complementary currency systems. The software has been coded for less developed countries or emerging economies. But today, it makes sense also to use it in crisis-related scenarios. What Cyclos does, it tracks registers transfers, but it also it's also possible to administrate, execute, deliver programs, expressing monetary ruling of the system in the form of fees or rewards in real time and quite cheaply today. This allows for the conditioning of the flow of money in a more precise manner toward specific sectors or clusters of the target economy. So in the example that we will see now, the cluster or the target, the part of the economy will be the SME sector in Uruguay. An instance of Cyclos is the commercial credit circuit, so the Uruguayan example that I proposed in my paper. In Uruguay, after the crisis, they had a problem. They had a problem that 90% of the workforce was employed by small and medium-sized enterprises, which are the 70% of the economy in Uruguay. With the crisis, they had a problem of shortage of money, and SMEs couldn't fill the gap between the 30 days in which they had to pay their suppliers and the 90 days where they've been paid by their clients. So the solution was to ensure value claims of the small medium-sized enterprises. So invoices, we can insure the invoices, and we can make them be a currency flowing within the SMES sector in Uruguay. As I put in yellow down, for a social solidarity economy perspective, virtual currency schemes can be designed for coordinating win-win solutions to all participants, as I will show the C3 system is designed to do for the Uruguayan economy. So schematically, we have that the government asks for service. The government is the bigger player in the Uruguayan economy, and you have to notice that in Uruguay, the dimension of the social economy and the geography of the country allows to have a nation which is actually of the dimension of the region. So this kind of system scale well in regions, and in this case, they also scale well at the national level. What happens? The governments ask for goods and services to the SMES sector, and the producers start to work among themselves trading the value claims because they don't have the money. When the government, after one quarter, gets the money, the Uruguayan pesos, the value claims mature, and then you can cash them in exchange for pesos. The system has been rendered more flexible still because, as the orange arrow shows, if I am SME and I want to cash the value claim that I received before they mature, I can go to the bank and cash them. And now it's written euros, but it's actually Uruguayan pesos. And I pay a fee, which is the same that the interest incurred by the bank anticipating you the money. They will lose the interest of the time that will pass within the 90 days. The benefits are, when I speak of win-win solution, is because it's structurally like that in game theoretic terms. So businesses increase their access to short-term credit as needed for improving their working capital and production. And from a social solidarity economy perspective, we have to think about the person animating the businesses. For banks, they can become a more SMES can become a more profitable sector because now credit lines are negotiated with the entire clearing network, and there is then first of all bet risk diversification, and banks can start to provide the insurance service so they can actually increase their profit by playing this game. And governments have the possibility to structurally reduce unemployment while increasing revenue. Because the good part of the C3 Uruguay is that these value claims or C3 units have legal tender power. So businesses can also use them in the payment of taxes, and automatically government increases tax revenue. As I put in brackets for question of time and space, there is also applicability in the European Union crisis scenario. And the example is the GEURO or Euro currency proposed by a member of the German Central Bank in August 2012. They proposed the two velocity euros, 1 euro for Greek that has its problems, and the normal euro for Germany that goes well. Policy circles didn't discuss it further, at least in public, but the system is this, and it could be applied tomorrow in this continent also. For the Uruguayan case, there is a structural implementation problem. So the long story short is that the Uruguayan government wants to implement the system. They want the value claim to have legal tender power. But they have a tax bureaucracy which is objectively obsolete. They cannot graft the system onto the fiscal branch. Okay, I'm done almost. Sorry, thanks. On the fiscal branch of the conventional Uruguayan monetary system. So it's a problem of regulation or a technical compatibility between the two systems, not an unwillingness, a political unwillingness. What the NGO quickly did, they said, okay, if we are stuck for these objective problems with the public sector, let's implement the system throughout the private sector and shifting to a bottom-up strategy, which is less compatible with the values of social and solidarity economy. Not in this case, because they're also doing a pilot with the Minister of Labor for this welfare food program, and the Accor Group is managing the voucher scheme. So this kind of partnership can be more compatible with social solidarity economy values. What I conclude with is that joining both bottom-up, top-down, private and public strategies can maybe render the system viable in that context, because now they are in reality they are on that path. So they should, in my opinion, couple the two strategies together. More in general, I think that cultural adaptation is the biggest issue with this kind of models, especially for the operators of the SME sector themselves, and also for policymakers, because really what I think is governments are not up to date with respect to the innovation coming from the IT sector in the domain of payment systems, and they could gain themselves if they be. I think I'm done, yes. Thank you very much, and that's it.
10 minutes and 3 seconds exactly. Well done. Thank you. Any questions for Marco on this interesting SME-related currency? Yes, Sergio.
Name is Sergio. I'm from Chile. I also practice complementary currencies. I would like to know a bit about the time that this process has been going on, because it's a conversation with the government, then you have to go with the private sector, or you have to try to change the strategy.
Okay, the system has been designed after the crisis, so in 2009 they were almost done. They started to implement it in 2010 from a government perspective, so with the push of the government. Then they switched to the private partnership because they said we had a change in the government, so now the socialists are in power, and they are less keen to push this system. They would like to find more conventional solutions to the crisis problem, okay? And so they said, we don't want to let the system die down because of these, you know, political issues. Let's try to implement it anyway through other ways. So the private sector jumped in. Thanks.
Thank you. I have a question. I'm always nervous when I just see win, win, win for all. And I'm wondering, so what are the... Because you also said there was a difficulty in this case and it hasn't gone fantastically. There's been some resistance. Who loses? Or is it literally just not enough understanding? Are there any losers in something like C3?
In the case it succeeds?
Yeah.
The conventional system, I think. Operators of the conventional system, they can lose their market shares, in a sense. And maybe also at the political level, less possibility to use money as a tool for control, because there are other lines of credit, and the people is at least more free. So I think the establishment and the conventional system representatives.
Okay. And is this unusual, or is C3 being tried in other locations? And if so, what are we learning from those other locations, even if it's just hearsay at the moment rather than proper analysis?
A pilot is being run in El Salvador. And also in Brazil, there is the C3 circuit, the Circuito Compras is the network. The research is underway because, again, public bodies do not finance research on this. And so there are no results at the moment, but research is underway. That's what I know.
And with your broader knowledge of the complementary currency field, where would you put C3 as an innovation worthy of our attention and experimentation, say compared to community-based mutual credit, or what we heard about Banco Palmas and so on. Do you think, or the civics concept we heard from Bernard Leiter?
I would, as the system is being designed for, is for the business sector. Okay. I don't know if I answered your question, because it's for the SMEs compared to other kinds of complementary currencies. I mean, what do you mean by that? Sorry.
Well, for example, I ran a training in the northwest of England, and we had the Cumberland Building Society come along. They're a very large building society or credit union with lots of SME customers. And I was encouraging them to look at the VIA system here in Switzerland, where they have about 65,000 businesses operating in a mutual credit system. It's about 1.5% of Swiss GDP. It's been going since 1934. They're analyzing it now to see if it's something that they can add to their existing clients, the business. So I'm wondering whether C3 is something which we should be sharing around or not. So I try and put it in the context of other things, because so few resources in this field. I need to hear a little bit more about why I should explore this and suggest this, and if I am, well, who to?
I go back one second only, because I said that Cyclos is, the C3 is an instance of Cyclos. Actually, chronologically, it was the other way around. They designed the C3 by using this software that then became Cyclos, and with Cyclos you can do the C3 and a lot of other things, okay? So
Let's also.
Everything, okay? Time banking, almost everything. With its limits, I mean, the code base and whatever. I answered to you by telling you that let's use these algorithms and bend them to our needs. So we can have a C3 in the north of England and, flexible enough to meet the needs of the local reality, because the software allows you to do that.
But I think that the question goes towards that there are stakeholders that are involved, so the system can actually be implemented. Is it? It could be all the stores that are involved, as in commerce-wise, or the government if they're going to receive the tax. So who would you present this to? Who would be the client?
In general, then the supply chain of every economy. The commercial supply chain of every economy. The C3 is a good way for them to trade amongst themselves without using conventional money that can be used for other necessities that they have, especially in recessive downturns. Because this system is, first of all, a counter-cyclical system for counteracting recession and unemployment that is part of a recession, okay? If there is employment, we're growing. So you have to contextualize the system, and if you do that, you see that I speak about the SMEs sector, but I speak from the raw material producer to the retailer selling the product or service made with this raw material. Okay, that's what I see.
Check out our other podcasts, available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.